Okay, welcome to both of you who are probably listening to this thing, to the first episode ever of the Technically Cynical Podcast. I don't know, guess I needed a hobby or some shit, so here I am with a microphone and a lot of bullshit opinions. So let's get something started. I guess this is going to be about whatever I feel like making it about. Probably tech stuff, a little history, maybe a couple video games, sci-fi, movies, pretty much whatever strikes my interest and I feel like talking about. And let's see, anything else? Oh yeah, I'm probably going to swear a lot. I just, you know, do. So if, you know, listening to somebody call something a stupid piece of shit or saying fuck or, you know, things like that offends your precious little ears, yeah, this isn't the place for you. So, anyway, just to get that out of there, as long as Audition continues to cooperate, we'll just roll right along through this thing. Got some interesting stuff coming to the, you know, Windows 10, the creator update, they're calling it. Not quite sure why they decided to call it the creator's update. I'm not seeing a whole hell of a lot in the changelog that actually applies to creators, but hey, they want to try to give it a friendly, happy little name, then why not? You know, it's like, not like it's doing too well in the market anyway. I mean, granted, I don't really have a problem with Windows 10. I honestly kind of like it. You know, you got a couple of little things in there you got to deal with. You know, Cortana could go fuck herself. That gets reg keyed out immediately. You know, Edge, okay. Microsoft, you need to stop trying to get people to use Edge. You don't fire up Chrome and go, you know, you probably should think about using Edge. It's better on battery. Yeah, except that it blows. So, let's face it, Edge blows. Nobody liked IE, and now you've got Edge, which is basically stillborn. Nobody likes Edge. So, here we are. You can stop nagging me about it. You know, or the fact it's like you go in the Explorer and it's like, oh, by the way, have you ever considered spending, you know, $8 a month for OneDrive space? You know, you can save stuff in there. Yeah, I also have this thing called a hard drive. I can put my shit there, too. You know, don't have to worry so much about spending, like, you know, $8, $10 a month for cloud storage, especially when, let's face facts, Microsoft, your cloud, it ain't the best thing in the world. You know, the fact that, two times the last 3 weeks or so, it took a massive shit. One time actually going out worldwide, yeah. That's where I want to put all my shit. You know, a place where I can't necessarily get it. You know, but, I mean, get away from stuff like that. Technically speaking, 10 is perfectly nice. It's fast. It's got pretty good memory management. I like the automatic maintenance. Seems to keep everything running pretty well. So, you know, you win some, you lose some. You know, otherwise it, you know, nags you in. Tries to act all nice and friendly with this shit, you know, it's like you gotta love the ones where it's like they're trying to act like your best friend, and you know, it's like, hi, welcome back, blah, 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 blah. It's like, Microsoft, you're neither cute nor friendly. I'm tired of when machines trying to act like your best friend. It's like, guess what, it's like you're a piece of plastic built by children in China and managed by a monolithic corporation that doesn't give a flying fuck about you. Let's stop pretending we're friends. Alright, so, yeah, that's just kind of a thing that irks me, I guess you can say. Long list of one of the many things in this world that just piss me off. So, you know, it's like, you know, they turn it on and it's all like, hi, welcome, blah, 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 blah. It's like, oh, stop it. You're not my friend. You're not, you know, stop trying to act like we're buddies here. Just do the shit I want you to do. You're a computer, for Christ's sake. You're frustrating enough when you're not trying to be friendly to me. Yeah. that's just, you know, same thing. I have a problem with, like, you know, your DVD player says hi to you and you turn it on. Stuff like that. You know, at least, that's one of the reasons. I guess I like my old car in that regard, I have to say. My old car, you know, these cars these days, they friggin' nanny you and stuff. My, you know, my current car, you drive, you don't fasten your seatbelt. You know, if you're just, like, moving the car in the parking lot, it starts throwing an unholy shit fit at you, you know. It's like, oh, ding, 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 ding. Oh, God, fasten your seatbelt. We're all gonna die. It's like, I'm taking the car to the other side of the lot. Can you please calm your tits? Yeah. That's just, you know, my old car was just like that in that regard. It's like, yeah, you turn it on. It's like, ding, ding, ding. Fuck it, I tried. You know, you don't want to fasten your seatbelt. You're going to, you know, fly out the window in an accident. Oh, well, not my responsibility. You know, these days, oh, God. My mother used to have a Saturn like that. You parked with the wheels cut, it would bitch and moan at you. I think it wouldn't even let you lock the doors until you came into it, back in the car, started up, and straightened the wheels. Fucking really? Oh my God. It's like, yeah, machines, like, this stuff is nannying you to death these days. Have you ever noticed? Now, this is just something else that I can add to my list of things that piss me the fuck off. It used to be, if you had a box and it had options on it, it would say, you know, you'd have it, do you wish to do this? Yes and no. Nowadays, it appears to be, do you wish to do this? Yes, and nag me about this later. It's like, I don't want to configure it this way. Oh, well, I'm just going to ask you about it 2 days later. Well, it's like, guess what? I still don't want to configure it this way. You may want me to configure it this way, but guess what? I don't. So, kindly, fuck off. You know, it's just, yeah. You know, Facebook. Do you want to save your password? No. You sure you don't want to save your password? No. You know, we're going to prompt you to save your password. Eat me. I'm not saving my fucking password. That's what I've got a password manager for. And plus, I don't leave you logged in. Surprise! Because I don't want you tracking my happy ass. Same reason why I block your cookies. You know, it's... The AccuWeather app. Same deal. Lovely app. I really like it. The only downside to it, that annoys the fuck out of me, is that every 4 or 5 screens, it goes, Do you like this app? And it gives you a yes or no answer. There's no, you know, screw off. So if you say yes, it pushes you to the Google Play Store to try to get you to write a review for it. If you say no, it tries to get you to send an email to them telling you why you don't like it. I was half tempted to send them an email saying, I don't like it because you keep nagging me about my opinion on whether or not I like your app. Guess what? You have telemetry on it. You know I wouldn't like it if I don't use the fucking thing. If I do, guess what? I must like it. Easy. Stop nagging me. You know, now I decided I'm just going to, it's going to be an obstinate asshole. But, oh, I know, me being an obstinate asshole. Well, surprise, surprise there. Every time I see it, I just go back to the OS, force quit it, and then bring it back in and go around it. Because I just don't feel like answering. So, yeah, it's a shame. Because it's like, guess what? It's like, I don't want to deal with your shit. You know, it's like... Meanwhile, oh, set it like, you know, do what we tell you, or we're just going to nag you about it. Like, you know, it's, guess what, when did we stop being able to control the shit we own? It's like, all of a sudden, all these options and everything are being taken away from you. You're like, I want, you know, it's like, I want to have things configured the way I want them. If you're not going to actually give me the options, stop pretending that I actually have options. If you're just going to nag the shit out of me about them, you know, it's like, you know, just one of those little things that just keeps getting worse in tech, and it's just driving me fucking nuts. You know, it's like, I have this set this way I want it. This is the way I like it. It might not be the way you think I should use it, but it's the way I think I should use it. So. Guess what? I've been doing this for a very long time, and I have kind of my own way of doing things. And if it happens to not be the way that you like, too fucking bad. You know, oh, look, you've got messages in Facebook. Oh, look, the only way to use it is to put Messenger in with all its atrocious, horrible permission sets. Well, guess what? Not installing Messenger. Fuck you. You can stop telling me about the unread messages because I ain't looking at them. Yeah, same reason why it's like, oh, you don't go and send friend requests to random people that we've dragged up that have absolutely no relevance to your life whatsoever. I know the way to fix that. I'm going to send you push notifications about it at random times throughout the day. You know, nothing like being at work and all of a sudden having your phone ding and look at it and go, do you know? Fuck no, I don't know this person. It's like, you know, like, so, guess what? Easy solution. Bye-bye push notifications. It was easy to kind of forget about Facebook after that. You know, kind of a self-defeating prophecy thing for them there. You know, if they're going to nag their users to the point where they're just going to start defeating the systems that are nagging them so much. Yeah. I don't know, just, you know. But they're far from the only ones that abuse push notifications to a ridiculous extent. I'm looking at you, Truecaller. Hey, right from that tremendous diversion, kind of derail, where were something about, oh yes, Windows 10 Creators Update. Yeah, I've played with it a little, and I'm, you know, in the preview program there was a Windows Insider. Looks like Windows 10. I'm not really, you know, it's like, whoop-de-doo. The thing I do kind of like, which is, well, it's a good thing and it's a bad thing. If you have more than 2 gigs of RAM in your system, which, well, if you don't, I don't know what you're doing, you know, if 2002 called, they'd like their computer back. You can actually see every process that's running instead of having them all get bundled into service host and disappearing into that pile. So you can actually see, of course, that means, you know, it's like, oh, look, here's all your RAM. Now here's all your RAM being taken up because you're now broken out everything into individual processes with tons of overhead. But I like the thought. It's kind of nice. You know, the Linux subsystem, depending on what you call it, what they're calling it, the, you know, Bash on Windows or the Linux subsystem for Windows. It's kind of neat. I do like it. The only problem is, if you notice, due to some kernel limitations in the previous builds of Windows, if you have anything but Microsoft's useless CPU hogging Defender running for antivirus, you're not gonna see it work because it's gonna blue screen the fuck out of your computer. So, supposedly, they are fixing that problem, and that's going to be a nice thing to see. I'll be able to actually use the Linux subsystem without it choking to death. I mean, yeah, Sigwin works just fine, but at the same time, it would be nice to, you know, actually get the Bash subsystem working again. You know, they're getting some gaming stuff now, game broadcasting and stuff like that. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably still stick with some of the other broadcasting tools out there just because I'm really not 100% sure how clean and developed those things are going to be. So we'll give it a shot. Not like I stream games or anything like that. You know, you're not going to see me doing any Let's Plays. But, you know, might be an interesting tool to use regardless, see how, whether or not it can, you know, do good screen capture or something, you know, Bandicam and stuff like that. It'll be having some issues there. You know, gaming mode supposed to prioritize your CPU horsepower on the game you're running. We'll see. You know, I'm not sure how testing that hasn't been particularly worthwhile. You know, it's just kind of thing. Let's face it, if you're that constrained for CPU or GPU power in your games, you're probably better off just getting a better system than trying to see if you can play games with prioritization. And I mean, otherwise, if you know you're like rendering H.265 video in the background while you're trying to play a game, you you probably shouldn't. You know, you don't need a gaming mode for that, supposedly. It, you know, it hasn't done too much in the actual testing, but we'll see how that works. You know, Edge is supposedly being a little bit better. You know, they're supposedly improving it. You know, I just, you know, tab collections and things like that. Well, you know what? Wake me up when uBlock Origin is available for it, because right now it's basically way too stripped. I mean, yeah, I'm one of those people. I've got 48,000 extensions on my browser to make it behave the way I want it. And, well, frankly, I can't surf without my uBlock Origin, because otherwise the vomitous mass of advertisements that cover the internet make me deeply unhappy. So that, and plus, you know, you got those fun little things like, you know, hey, Forbes was serving up Locky for 3 weeks through contaminated ad, and nobody noticed. So yeah, uBlock. Otherwise, don't think there's anything too tremendously interesting. Paint 3D is kind of cool. I mean, granted, let's face it, 3D modeling is a real pain in the ass no matter what shape it comes in. You know, it's one of the things where everybody's talking about, oh, 3D printers and all this other stuff. And then it's like, oh, yeah, let's try to model this shit until you can 3D print it. Oh, yeah, that. It's like, welcome to an exercise in screaming frustration. Yeah. So, I mean, the privacy tweaks are kind of cool, I gotta say. You know, that's something well waited for and welcomed, because I know I'm getting a little... you know, I know I've gotten to know where they are, and I'm well, you know, good at tweaking them, but I just shouldn't have to go and tweak them. Yeah. Some of the, you know, they're supposedly going to be fixing up the Windows update a bit more, which will be, you know, that'll be nice, because still think that compared to the old version of Windows update, that one is fantastically stripped. It doesn't have, you know, you used to be able to check your off which updates you want, which updates you don't want, everything. And this one just kind of like works or doesn't, and frequently it doesn't. You know, there's that would be nice. I mean, there's some other stuff that, you know, they're playing with the dynamic lock, where it, like, you know, if you walk, take your phone away from it, it will go and change, you know, automatically lock your computer and stuff. I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. Yeah. We'll see. You know, they're putting traffic in the maps and stuff like that. I mean, the map tab is actually pretty good. That's one thing I think that, you know, Bing, I think, is, you know, absolutely goddamn useless. But at the same time, it's Bing Maps is actually pretty good. You know, the compared to Google, I find that Bing Maps is generally kind of better. I feel dirty actually saying that, because, frankly, Bing just, I mean... Come on, when they have to give you a rewards program to make you actually use their web browser, you've got you probably got a pretty poor search engine. You know, Bing Rewards. That's kind of a weak sign. You know, I just remember it when, you know, Bing is powering Yahoo, and then fuck you, Firefox, for changing everybody's search default to that, and somebody didn't get the pushdown I sent at work to change everybody's search engine back to Google, and somebody was trying to find something, and they put in and they're trying to find a website. We know the website exists, and he puts it in, and nothing comes up. But so he's like, I don't get it. Why isn't it coming out? And I'm like looking at it, like, oh, that's why. You're searching with Bing. Click Google, press enter, first hit. So, yeah. But Bing Maps, actually not bad. So, I guess it's kind of Right. I mean, Google Maps is catching up. You know, you no longer have same type of issues where, you know, their directions will, you know, do things like lead you into a drainage canal and stuff because they cannot get their street addresses right. They're getting better, but they're still not that great. I mean, otherwise, you know, Paint 3D, better privacy. I don't. Yeah, I'll probably just, you know, everybody's going to get it, so whatever, but it's incremental. It's nothing major, nothing that'll, should, you know, because you can download it now if you wanted to force your computer up to it, and there's nothing in there. I'd really think that's too dramatically different. I'm looking through a list to see if there's anything I forgot, and there's, it's like, eh. You know, my thing I'm most looking forward to is the fact that hopefully the Windows, you know, the client subsystem for Linux will work properly. I mean, I've got, you know, Cygwin and all of those lovely things on my computer. So, you know, MOBA Xterm is probably the greatest thing in the world, especially if you're a server admin. But it'd be nice to actually see the built-in client subsystem for Windows actually doing what it's supposed to do, because maybe eventually, you know, more things can tie right into that, and I'll be able to, you know, do some of that Linux management straight from in there. But granted, MOBA Xterm does have its advantages in that regard, so I'm probably still going to be sticking with that. But at the same time, you know, being able to, you know, do apt-get blah 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 and pop it down in my right onto Windows is kind of nifty. And it's an interesting little change to Microsoft's direction there, considering on the Ballmer years it was like that weird thing with the prompt and the neckbeards in their basements writing code. Yeah, we don't acknowledge its existence. Unless we're suing somebody for, you know, using it. So, yeah, I gotta say, getting rid of Ballmer is probably one of the best things that happened to Microsoft in a very, very long time. He'd been there too long. Just the easiest way to put it. He'd just been there too long. You know, he was of the days when Windows was ran on x86 CPUs and was on a desktop, and you got it with your computer, and that's what you used, and you liked it. Well, you sucked it up, basically. You know, for some versions, I mean, let's face it. Nobody liked Windows 98. People tolerated Windows 98, because that's what that's what you had. I mean, the OS that never shut down. But, you know. So that's, you know, his mindset was still stuck there. Unfortunately, the mobile world just kind of marched on past them while they were looking around going, what? What's going on now? You know, when they finally decided to go try it, it was a little bit too little, too late. And, I mean, granted, not that Windows Phone, if you've ever tried it, it's not that bad, really. It's actually, you know, it's a decent OS. It just didn't have the support, and it didn't have the commitment. Microsoft needed to play the old game of shit or get off the pot, and they elected neither until they finally got off the pot, you know, once it became obvious that, you know, their half-in, half-out approach to things wasn't going to get them anywhere. Yeah, it's kind of like the Zune. I actually, yes, don't laugh, I own an actual, not the first gen, that thing was trash, but the second gen Zune I have, a Zune HD. It's old, still have it, still works great, and I love it. It was a great, great MP3 player. And, you know, the problem is that first one came out, and it sucked the big one, and Microsoft became a laughingstock, and everybody thought Zune was, you know, terrible. And then they decided to release another one, and they called it Zune again. Guys, the name's tainted. You can't just call it Zune again, because everybody's going to immediately flash back to the first Zune. You know, you can't go and... You can't recycle... If the name is already poisoned, you can't go back and use it again. You know, I don't see Chevy bringing back the Vega anytime soon. You know, Ford's not going to be pushing a Pinto out to their dealerships, because, you know, let's face it, that name is got a bit of a stigma attached to it. So unfortunately, even though it was a good product, the second Zune, the name was too already, you know, wasted, so it failed. And it's kind of a shame, because like I said, it was pretty decent. And Windows Phone, I mean, some of the original versions of Windows Phone were horrendous shit. I mean, let's face it, there's no other way of putting it. They were horrendous shit. However, they were, you know, the later releases, not so bad. I mean, I've played with a few of them, and they actually were okay. It's just, unfortunately, you know how it is. The name gets associated with a failed product, and everything after that's probably going to fail too. I mean, you've got a hell of an uphill battle, and Microsoft's lack of commitment towards the product is not helping them any. So, you know, it just eventually withered and died. You know, now Microsoft's trying to, you know, just kind of work their way into other platforms. And I gotta say, I mean, the stuff that they've released, the Office apps for mobile are really good. I mean, I gotta say that. They're really good. I mean, who would have thought that you would get Office on Android? But, man, I got a Galaxy Tab. And I got Word on it. And damned if it isn't good. It is really good. So, you know, unfortunately for Microsoft, they don't have their own platform going anymore, really. I mean, maybe they'll try to commit again to Windows Phone if they try. But their commitment to developing on the other platforms is it's doing pretty well for them. You know, at least I don't know how successful they're being in the marketplace, but the products they've turned out are certainly extremely competitive. I mean, you know, I would certainly recommend them. I mean, they're offering, and even they're offering Office 365, you know, as an office suite. I mean, yes, I think it's harder to manage, but from an actual, if you're stuck using a web-based office product, it's a hell of a lot better than Google's offering. It's quicker, it's more polished, it's got more features, its file formats are better. It's just all around better. So, you know, there's... I got to give it to Microsoft in that regard. You know, some people, the hate-a-thon around Windows 10, which I don't understand. Like, if you go into the comment section of the Register or something like that, I mean, the hate wank for Windows 10. It's like, holy shit, guys. What the hell crawled up your ass and died? I mean, it's like, oh, look at this. It's spyware, blah, 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 blah. It's like, what, are you afraid that they're going to... Microsoft might gather telemetry on you while they watch you sign into your Gmail account? I mean, it's like, let's face it. These days, the only way to stop people from gathering telemetry on you and all of this other shit is to basically take your computer, burn it, and go live in a cave. Because you name it, it's gathering telemetry on you. You know, I mean, these days, soon enough, they're going to be, say, like, you know, you're getting your Wi-Fi enabled smart cars, which are supposedly going to be gathering, you know, maintenance information and stuff like that, which, you know, somehow people still won't change their fucking oil. But, you know, you know there's going to be some stuff about how you drive and all this stuff, which will be interesting come warranty time if, you know, somebody gets a car with a propensity for, you know, sudden engine destruction, and they bring it in because, well, all of a sudden, oh, look, Rod came out the side of the block, and we're like, well, according to the telemetry, you kind of drive it like you stole it, so we're not going to honor the warranty. It's we're going to make you pay for an engine. It's like, Meanwhile, if you, you know, do even the slightest bit of research, you'll find out that these things are failing right and left, but they're going to use the telemetry to kind of, to try to, you know, get out of warranty work, you know. It's kind of like Hyundai with their 100,000-mile powertrain warranty, which, you know, if you miss a single oil change, you know, you can kind of kiss that shit goodbye. So, you know, just another way of kind of getting you. If they don't use that telemetry like that, I would be absolutely shocked. Because let's face it, when corporations get data, you know they're going to abuse it. That's just the way things are. So, I mean, granted, I'm kind of OCD about car maintenance. I think my car spends more time getting checked out than I do. You know, car will never miss an oil change. I mean, it's like, physical? What's that? Yeah, I think that's something I had during Clinton's administration. You know, it's, but, you know, still, it's, you always kind of have that little thing, you know, in the back of your mind, like, who's watching me and for what? I mean, not saying that, you know, Windows 10 is something to be afraid of or anything, because, you know, let's face it, use Chrome, telemetry. Use Firefox, telemetry. Use Office, there's telemetry there. I mean, hell, it wouldn't surprise me if there's probably some sort of telemetry in LibreOffice. Use Facebook, you're screwed. You know, use Google, anything. Guess what? So, you know, you got my coworker has a Hyundai at, it's gathering, you know, he accidentally hit the panic button on his, his alarm, you know, his remote, and, next thing you know, phone rings. It's like, oh, well, we saw you got a panic thing, and I think they even said his location. It's like, okay, that's a little creepy. You know, sometimes there's things to be said about dumb cars, especially when you consider the fact that nobody gives two shits about security with this thing, with these types of things. That's probably going to be a topic for next week, or next whenever I feel like doing another one of these things. I'm going to try to punch them out weekly, but we'll see what happens. I have the attention span of a goldfish on speed, and frequently get bored with projects. But this one I'm going to try to stick with. You know, I've tried to stick with website. That lasted a month. Still got the domain, so I may as well use it. And this is probably easier to just fire up microphone and yell, scream, and swear than it is to actually think about stuff and write it out. And so here I am, and here we go. So, yep, Windows 10 Creator Update, Internet of Things, and probably some screaming about that. Probably be on tap for next week. And before we call it a day for this episode, I think other important little bit of news. The USS Gerald R. Ford is finally going for sea trials. Years late and far over budget, but finally going for sea trials. Supposed to be service 2015. Yeah, haven't exactly hit that target now, have we? And at one point they were saying it was supposed to be last August, and August came September, came October, and November, then came March. Then they jumped to March, now it's April, and they swear at sometime this week, Ford will leave for sea trials. At which point we will find out whether or not the main propulsion turbines are bad too, along with everything else that doesn't seem to work on that thing. You know, catapults don't work. Resting gear don't work. Radars don't work. Weapons elevators don't work. Generators don't work. Makes you wonder, how the hell do we fuck up an aircraft carrier like this? You know, it's like some of this stuff. I mean, we've been building steam turbine generators for well over 100 years. How did we manage to produce a set that doesn't work? I mean, I bet you. I mean, well, it's kind of, you know the answer. Defense contractors. You know, if there's why give you something that's cheap and reliable when we can give you something that's expensive and broken? Yeah. If it's working, then engineer it until it stops. Yeah, so, I bet you, that's probably it. There's some sort of crazy, hydrogen, cool, super compact, pulse width modulated, blah de blah blah blah. When you could have just bought something from General Electric, slapped it in there, and it would have run for 60 years. So, here we are. I mean, granted, you can't necessarily completely blame Ford or Newport News for the issues regarding that aircraft carrier, considering the fact that the brilliant Pentagon's brilliant new procurement strategies that have been going on for the past 10 or so years was to acquire a weapons system and begin its construction without finalizing the design, as evidenced in Ford, in the LCSs, Littoral Combat Ships, that apparently a rite of passage for them is to come out of the shipyard and suffer some sort of major propulsion casualty. The F-35. Oh, God, the F-35. Wow. That is such a fucking national embarrassment. My God. We've got Russia and China, at the gates, and we've got the F-35 turning us into a laughing stock. We have Zumwalt shit in the bed in the middle of Panama Canal. We have the Littoral Combat Ships, which it's guaranteed they'll break. One of them will break. It's like, if they're going to move under their own power, they're going to break. That's, I don't understand how they managed to take a, gear reduction turbine engine drive. I think those are Kodaks, combined diesel and gas reduction gear clutched in system. They've been made for years. How is it that they work for everyone else and not for us? I mean, it just is there lack of oversight? Is it lack of care and attention on the part of the contractors? Is it just sloppy design work? Is it poor manufacturing of the components? I mean, either way, it's this whole military procurement system. We got to get our shit together for Christ's sake. How bad is it can be? Now the stuff is too expensive, so we can't afford to actually buy any of it. The stuff that we have managed to buy doesn't work. And that's when we can finally get it, because it's years behind schedule. I mean, yes, I know that the whole Pentagon military industrial complex is a giant circle jerk, reach around, I kind of reciprocal hand job thing, I guess you can call it. It's like, you come in once, you sit in the Pentagon, you get whacked off by the contractors, then you leave the Pentagon, sign on with the defense contractors, and now you're the one giving the handy. So, it's kind of goes both ways. But unfortunately, what seems to result from that is products that don't work, that cost far too much, and are years behind schedule. Let's say this is just to put it to perspective. The B-52. It's currently being flown by grandchildren of the original pilots. The USS Enterprise, CVN-65, the aircraft carrier that Ford is replacing, probably one of the greatest warships of the 20th century. Nothing beats that. Great old 1950s American engineering. 8 nuclear reactors, almost 1,200 feet long. Trialed in over 36 knots, fastest aircraft carrier ever built. We had no idea what we were doing. Never built something like that before. Keel was laid in 1958. Commissioned 1961. It was almost finished in the amount of time that Ford has been delayed. Worked the first time. Took it right out in sea trials. Owned it. Did everything right. It's ready to go. No time. You know, worked out of the gate. What are we doing wrong now? Yes, I know things are technically more complicated now. You know, you've got all these computers and everything. You know, Ford's crew complements like 1,000 people less than Big E's. But at the same time, if shit don't work, you know, sometimes there's something to be said about the KISS principle. Case in point, the A-10. The A-10 Warthog. I mean, it... dumber than shit, you know, plane. No fly-by-wire, no fancy shit in it. It's a big old titanium bathtub with wings and big engines and a giant cannon. And that's pretty much all it is. And that thing just works. And you could pretty much shoot the wings off of it, and it will still figure out a way to fly home. You know, sometimes there's, you know, something to be said about kind of looking, taking a step back and going, we put way too much shit in this thing. Maybe it's time to look at it, strip it back a little, and say, okay, maybe what could be done in 5 steps does not need to be done in 10. But unfortunately, it seems that no matter how much they talk about fixing the problem, nobody seems to be particularly inclined to actually fix the problem. Likely because there is far too much money in it. You know, it's a very odd thing, defense contracting. Sometimes I think I got into the wrong line of work, because after all, them and weather forecasters can both be paid to be wrong. Yeah, it's like, yeah, you tell, you get something, and you say, okay, we're going to tender for this new airplane, and it's going to cost $12 million a copy, and then you do the $12 million a copy aircraft, and it doesn't meet any of its design goals, and it's barely functional, if functional at all, and then the Pentagon goes, what the fuck? And you go, well, we had a little trouble in development in this $12 million aircraft. Well, if you want to put the guns on it and you want the engines that'll actually allow it to fly, yeah, we're looking at more like 25, maybe 30. Yeah, things, you know, change in goalposts, growth, mission creep, you know how it is. And that's how we got a $30 million, $12 million aircraft. I mean, granted, the F-35 isn't all that problem. Biggest problem the F-35 has is the fact that they're so obsessed with creating a multi-role, multi-mission aircraft. I have a book written by one of the former executives, Grumman Aerospace. It was there back in the glory days, back when they're building the F-14. Great, great plane. And he said, remember during the time when they're starting to develop the F-14, when the Pentagon was trying to make, you know, force the idea of a multi-role, multi, you know, agency fighter onto everyone. You know, and said, we're going to make one airframe for everyone. And then they said, well, the Marines want it one way. Well, the Air Force wants it different way. Well, the Navy, if you're going to make it carrier-based, you got to do a whole bunch of stuff to the airframe to make it carrier-based, all this stuff. And eventually they finally realized, wait a second, this is going to be so completely impractical that by the time we're done with this thing, it's going to be a butchered-up hack job, and it's not going to suit anybody's purpose very well. So they let people have their, you know, let each one have their aircraft that suited them best. This time, well, goddamn it, we're gonna do it, come hell or high water, and that's what they tried to do, and we wound up with something that is such a Johnny Hackenslash that I don't think it's ever gonna actually work right. I mean, you know, not only do you have to try to adapt it for you know, short takeoff and landing. I think they're even still trying to do VTOL with it. Then you've got, you have to make it adaptable for carrier use, and then you got to make it adaptable for straight run, you know, runway use, and they want to try to use it for, you know, all kinds of missions, and then you've got the other countries involved, and then you've got the other countries' defense contractors involved, and then you have not invented here syndrome, you know, and now you're designing it based around two dissimilar engine systems because, you know, Rolls-Royce wanted their slice of the pie for the British, but General Electric wasn't going to give up their slice, so now you got one airframe based around two different engines and all the drama around that. Remember that thing from a few years ago? And it's like, guys, this thing is, you know, at this point, you would have been better off coming up with the most stripped down basic airframe and then taking that and saying, okay, instead of trying to have as much overlap as possible, so okay, Navy version, go. And just having that thing be whatever it is and not having this, have an export version, something. But stop trying to force fit this kind of one-size-fits-all hackery into this thing. Because, I mean, the thing is just it's verging on national embarrassment at this point. It's just ridiculous. So, yeah, that's... I think, let's see here. So I've covered everything from Windows 10 to the Ford to the F-35. Well, can't say that I'm not varied. So we'll pick this up sometime next week. I'll probably record these on Thursdays, I'm thinking. I don't know. By that point, I probably will have the 10 Creators update running on my primary machine, and provided it doesn't cause it to take a colossal shit and vomit all over itself, maybe I'll do a hands-on with the Creators update thing. And there will be, at some point, I will have to get shouty about Internet of Things, because the Internet of Things just fucking annoys me. So, till then, this is episode 1 of the Technically Cynical podcast, and if you sat through this whole thing for 48 minutes, well, I applaud you. Thank you, and we'll be more where this came from. It's Matt, signing out from the land of milk and taxes.